Well, thank you for the presentation, Pastor Travis. So my name is Daniel Figueroa. Come from Elkhart, Indiana. How many have been or know about Elkhart, Indiana? It's a city, you know, at the north of Indiana, close to the Michigan border. I was not born in the USA, but I was practically raised in the USA. So I'm just a Hoosier as you are, and to call this beautiful country and state my home. And God has really worked in my life in these my whole time in the ministry. And I want to share a little bit about what our church is there in Elkhart. So our name is Primera Iglesia Bautista Libre in Spanish. In English, it would be First Free Will Baptist Church. That would be the exact translation. So we're the first. We don't know who the second is or the third, but we're the first in Elkhart. So who are we? So we are we're a Hispanic church in Elkhart. It's a fully Hispanic church. The church actually was born out of an English church called Heritage Free Will Baptist, which was founded around in the 1980s, and then in the 2000s. God called and moved the heart of pastors John, Anita and Lonnie Sparks to start a Hispanic congregation, a Spanish-speaking church in Elkhart, because the Hispanic community was growing in Elkhart. So that is when Primera Iglesia Bautista was started by missionaries who had come from Spain and were now starting a Hispanic church here in the USA. Wow. How amazing how God can use people from across who worked as missionaries across the other side of the globe and to bring them back home and to still be fulfilling that purpose. So that is who we are. So we've been through different periods in our church. So we're now going through another period with Isaac and I being pastors. My pastor was Pastor Jaime Hernandez, like Pastor Travis had talked about. So he was pretty much my mentor. He was my Elijah, you could say. He was my Moses, and now I'm having the privilege of being able to minister and pastor the church there as well. So this is a little pictures of our church. So in our church, we have different countries or people from different countries who are in there. For example, we have some brothers from Colombia, some brothers from Ecuador, from Venezuela. My fiance is actually from Venezuela. Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras. So God has brought all these people from different parts of the world to our church, and it's a very big blessing. It's a very big blessing to have people from different cultures, from different nationalities, all coming together for one thing, and that one thing is Christ. So it's very beautiful to see that. So how I said, that's how it started. So there's a few pictures of how our church used to look like, of me a couple of years ago, of a few years ago, and also a couple pounds ago. So I know you can't see it that well, but that is our church. We have, I want to say 3 acres of land in our church, so we got quite a bit of space. And so we have a lot of room to keep growing. And also on the bottom there is Pastor Jaime when he was pastor, and that is how our church looked like five years ago. Now, if you were to come, it looks completely different. During COVID, we remodeled the church, so God put that in Pastor Jaime's heart. You know, we need to not just reach the adults and the elders, but we also need to reach the next generation, the young people of our community. So that is why we wanted to not just be grandpa and grandma's church anymore, but we wanted to be the younger people's, the next generation's church as well. So just like Pastor Travis mentioned, so we went last year, we were in North Carolina, in Greenville, North Carolina, doing an intense seminary for 4 months. And here's some pictures of our time in North Carolina. We were very blessed from the English congregation there, from the Hispanic church there. So we were very blessed We had an awesome time. We saw God moving. We took part in an evangelistical event there to reach the Hispanic community, and it was such a great blessing for us. The people who studied with us, they were from different ages. We had kids who had recently graduated from high school, and then we also had a few elders, 50, 60-year-old classmates with us. So it was very beautiful to see that age range of our classmates, and we were right in the middle. So we received from the younger, and we also received from the older generations, and it was very beautiful to receive that. So as I said, so Isaac Hernandez, hopefully some of you will also get to know him. We are pastoring the church there. So you could say this is our second year pastoring, our first full year pastoring together since we've both came back from the institute. And it's been a big blessing, you know, to be able to share the load, as Pastor Travis had said, to share the load, to be able to work together, and to most of all to go together in the Lord. God always put, you know, teams like Peter and Silas, Moses and Aaron. God always put teams together for his ministries. Not do it alone or just by yourself. No, God always puts someone by your side to do it together. And here's a few of our ministries. So we have our kids ministry, which I could say is one of our strongest ministries right now. We have 13 children in our between ages of 6 and 13. Valerie, my fiance, she's the teacher there. She's one of the leaders in the kids ministry. We also have a pretty big women's ministry. Some of you ladies have gone out to the women's retreats. Yeah, you have seen some of our women there as well. Our youth ministry, which really we don't have much of a youth ministry now. They're more of a young adult ministry. So we're I guess you could say this is the biggest area of opportunity for our church. How can we reach the young adults in our church now? So that is, so pray for us and how we can reach them and further their walk in Christ. And our worship team, so we also have a worship team. So we have myself, Pastor Isaac, Valerie, and also two other young teens who help us in the worship. And the media team. So now a media team is necessary, right? Every church needs a media team for the slides, for the sound, for the lyrics. So we also have a media team, and this is mostly where we have been focusing for our young adults, you know, being part of the church also through the media, since a lot of them have, you know, computer knowledge. A lot of them are very well educated in the computer, so why not serve the Lord in there as well? And our men's ministry. So I believe that's the big revelation of our church this year, you know, the growth of our men's ministry. A lot of our men have been growing, have been participating more. So, and I know the men's ministry is usually the hardest ministry to really motivate, to really encourage, because us men, you know, sometimes we're a little stubborn and hard-headed, but, you know, God can still use us. And you know, throughout the whole Bible, God mostly called men. And that is where the enemy, you know, has been attacking, has been really putting all his effort to bring down this man. But now it's us, no, to lift up the men in our churches, because God has a calling for every single man, every single person, every single head of the family. Well, this is so we have reunion for men's ministry every two months. We have a service just for men. So that, I believe, this is what has really been encouraging our men to participate, to really strengthen their faith. And we just pray that God keeps moving in our men, and that he can lift up more leaders and also preachers of the word. And yeah, and that's it. So that's our names, Daniel and Valerie. And we're just very happy for you guys to have opened your church and your hearts to us this morning. And I know that this bond between us will only keep getting stronger. And if you guys have the chance of coming up north to visit us, we're only a three-hour drive, but you are more than welcome to participate with us and worship along with us. I don't know if this is our mission statement. So what do we want to accomplish in Elkhart? So first, we want to reach families. You know, we want to reach the lost. We want to reach the single mothers. We want to reach those couples that might be going through struggles in their marriage. We want to reach the children and the parents of our community. So Elkhart has about, I was reading the statistics, and has about 33%, 30-ish percent of Hispanic community. But I think that percentage is a little bit higher. It might be in the 40s or 50s. So we have a lot of people that we can impact in our community there in Elkhart. And we also want to share the gospel. So not just do we want to invite them to church, but we also want them, most of all, to receive Christ. Maybe they aren't part of our church. Maybe they go to a different church, or maybe just not their time, but we want to plant that seed in each family, in each person that we connect with, that, hey, you need Christ, you need Jesus in your life, and he can make all that difference in your life and in your family. And also, we want to build unity between our cultures, between the different cultures, you know, that are in, you may see us as brown people, but, you know, we even have our differences. We have our differences between the Venezuelan, Colombian, the Mexican peoples. We have our differences, you know, and sometimes that can cause a little friction. But we know that we are united in Christ. Just as we are united with the English-speaking peoples, we are also one people in Christ. Amen. And so we have some testimonies. So some brothers, Handy and Oscar, they're brothers from Colombia, who have been a really big motivation for us. They endured a 10-week discipleship with me, and it was very good. Unfortunately, they left to California to reunite with another family member there, but we know that God will keep moving with them. And also our brother Eduardo Ramirez, you could say he's the next man that Isaac and I are molding, you know, to take some leadership, to preach, to maybe even be a pastor someday if the Lord calls it for him. So we are also pouring in him. And then the family that is there, the Vegas Caceres family, they have been a huge, huge encouragement to our church. So when they came to our church, their father, their father, the husband of this lady, Claudia, he was suffering from bone cancer. So he brought his family to church, and it was a very tough time. Unfortunately, he passed away. But you know what? He did the best thing a man could do. He left his family at the feet of Christ. And that family has been a great encouragement to our church. Each one of them is participating in the church. His wife his widow, she is our women's leader. So God has really moved in that family, that God brought them for a reason, and we are seeing the fruits of that. And then also our kids ministry, like I said, is probably our strongest group right now. And Valerie shared a little bit about them, but they are the biggest motivation for us. It's funny because sometimes it's the kids that are motivating the parents to go to church, not the other way around, right? So that is a big impact of what kids can do. So if we remember when the kids wanted to go up to Christ and the disciples were telling the Lord, no, or God doesn't have time for you. But what did the Lord say? You know, to let them come to him. So that is important, that even the kids have a place in Christ, because they are the next generation. They are the ones who are going to be replacing us. They're the ones who are going to be serving in the community, who are going to be expanding the gospel. So we also need to lift them up, to encourage them, to have them participate in our church. And I believe that is it for our presentation. I don't know if Valerie, would you like to share some words?
Thank you for receiving us here. Excuse me for my English, it's not that good. I'm going to try my best. I'm really grateful to be here. We want to share with you what we were doing and what God is bringing to us. And who knows, probably we have that seed we can share to you, and you can share to someone else. So that's the best thing we can do. We're here to serve the Lord. We believe in every person have a call. Every person have the call to serve in any ministry. So we always invite the people to hear that voice, to feel that call, and to receive the word of God. So thank you for receiving us. And I hope the word it gets in the best way. And thank you for everything.
Well, brothers, sisters, now without further ado, let's go into the word. How many of us want to go into the word this morning? Thank you. All right, I want to invite everyone, if you could please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 10 verses. And I call this this sermon, what do you have when you have nothing? And I want this to be in your mind as we go through this sermon. What do I have if I were to have nothing? What do I really have? So now we're going to read this story in the Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to start on chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. If you could please follow me. My title says, Peter Heals a Lame Beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's go in prayer. Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us, Father. And as we read this story that happened thousands of years ago, we know that it can still have a big impact in our lives into this day, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be your mouthpiece, to be your messenger, Lord. Let not my own knowledge or my own wisdom, but be your word that is spoken today. Thank you, Father. In all this we pray in your holy name. Amen. So as I said, brothers and sisters, what do we have when we have nothing? So in this story, we see that there is three people who are mentioned in this story. So who are those three people? First, we see that there is the apostles. There's two apostles, probably one of the apostles who had most influence after Jesus' resurrection, which were John and Peter. And then we see a third person in this story. And this person is a lame man, a beggar who was at the temple, or he was at the gates of the temple, and as we saw here, what was he doing? He was begging for money. He was begging. You know, he was asking for money. So this man, he wasn't in just any place. He was placed in front of the beautiful gates. So as we know, the temple of Solomon, the temple was filled with different gates. And you could say this is the main gate. This is where most of the time the gate that had most traffic to get into the temple, the beautiful gate. And why is it called beautiful? Because it was a bronze gate layered with gold and silver. So it was a beautiful gate that just walking past it, you would marvel at how beautiful it was. And that is where it got its name. But perhaps with this person being there, perhaps it wasn't so beautiful anymore, right? Having this person there. So the beautiful gates, so that teaches us a lot, brothers and sisters. So we usually know the locations that usually people who are homeless or people who beg for money usually stay at, correct? Usually when we go to work, when we go out, you know, we usually know where these people are at. And what do we usually do if we're honest? We usually try to avoid them, correct? We usually try not to look at them, or we try to go, you know, another way. But this man was confronted by the apostles. He had the blessing to be encountered by the apostles on this day that would forever change his life. And so we could say this man, he was placed every day. We don't know if it was friends or family members, but he was placed every day here in the beautiful gate to ask for money for his needs and maybe even for his family's needs. Because just like any other person, he had needs he needed to satisfy. He needed to eat. He had to, you know, pay the bills for a home. So this man had a need, and he looked at Peter and John to provide that need, that physical need of money. So the need of monetary or financial help was what he needed. Since he was a paralytic, he couldn't really work. You know, he couldn't walk. He was lame. You know, even as we were going to see further on, he couldn't even go into the temple because of this condition that he has. But he encountered John and Peter. He encountered the apostles on this fateful day. So John and Peter were walking to the temple as they were Jewish. So even then, they were still going to the temple. Even when they were a Christian, when they became Christians, they would still go to the temple, at least until the destruction of the temple in the 70 AD. But as they were walking, they encountered this man, and they both look at each other, just like, they're like, "Do you have anything for him?" "No, I don't have anything. Do you?" "No, I don't." So they were both penniless. You could say they were both broke. So what do they tell this man? They say to him the famous words, "Silver or gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." Many of you have probably heard this saying or this verse, because it is very true. They didn't have anything, but they had something even better for this man. So let's be honest, brothers and sisters, we all need money, right? Anybody here does not need money, right? We all need money, right? Who all needs money? We all need money. No one can't live without money, because simply we need it to survive. We need it to pay for food. We need to pay a roof over our heads. We need it for transportation, to pay for our cars, for our gas, or public service if we don't happen to have a car. We need it for clothing, to clothe ourselves. So we can all agree that money is important. But the moral of the story here is that it is not everything. It is not everything. It is important, but money is not everything in our lives. The world tells us that our value or our worth depends on how much zeros we have in our bank account, how many things we own, our income, how much are we bringing in a week. You know, that the world tells us that is our value. You're valuable to the world depending on how much you bring in. But the apostles, they could see through the enemy's lies. They could see that our worth doesn't necessarily depend on our bank account, on how much we have. So even then, the apostles had the audacity to tell this poor beggar that they had something even better than his physical needs. How would you feel like if you were this beggar? If you needed money to sustain yourself, you couldn't work, you couldn't do really anything, and then these two men tell you, "We don't have anything, but we have something even better than what you're asking for." Yeah, I don't know about you, but I would feel a little offended, right? I would feel like a little offended, like, what could you have that could provide for me something more than silver or gold? You're pretty much telling me I'm here for no reason. You're pretty much telling me that I'm just wasting my time here asking for money. So, brothers and sisters, so what is this something that they had that was worth more than silver or gold? Well, in this sermon, we're going to examine the two parties. We're going to examine the apostles, and we're going to examine the lame beggar. We're going to go examine these two groups that we are presented here. And my question to you is that you think to yourself throughout this sermon is, what do I have when I have nothing? So now we're going to look at what did the two apostles have. So what did these two men have despite not being penniless, despite not having anything? What did these two apostles have? So the first thing we can see in verse 1 is that I'm going to read again verse 1 in chapter 3. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So here it tells us clearly, so the first thing that Peter and John had was that they had communion with God. Everyone say communion with God. So Peter and John had communion with God. So in other words, they had a relationship with God. These men were obedient with God. They had walked with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. And even after his death and resurrection, they were still walking with the Lord. So that first things first, they had communion with God. They were obedient. They were going to the temple. They were going to pray. So first thing they had was they had communion with God. Second thing that they had is that the apostles had peace within. They had peace. So throughout the story, they didn't have nothing, but they weren't fretting or they weren't worried that they didn't have nothing. They were at peace. These men were at peace due to their faith in Christ. So everyone say they had peace. They had peace. These apostles had peace within. Despite not having anything, despite being penniless, despite not having anything to give this man, they had peace within themselves. So I want to invite everyone to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 25 through 32. And it says, my title says, do not worry. 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, and add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Wow, so here are the Lord Jesus Christ, their mentor, their teacher, was telling them, do not worry, I will provide for all your needs. Just be obedient, just follow me, and I will provide. Just like I provide for the birds, I provide for the animals, and you are worth much more than all those things. So God was there reaffirming, Jesus was reaffirming that he would provide all of their needs. So that is why these men had peace. And third is that they had Jesus' name and they had the Lord's favor wherever they went. So what did they tell the lame beggar? They had the name of Jesus with them and the Lord's favor. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. And it says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how he will not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. So they had the Lord's favor. They had Jesus' name in their lips, and they had the power. And you know, brothers and sisters, that power was worth more than gold and silver. Later on, we see a magician by the name of Simon, you know, who was awed by the power that the apostles had. And he told one of the apostles, give me that power. I'll give you all the money I have for that power. And I believe it was Peter said, you cannot buy that power. You know, you got to earn it. You got to have it through faith. So that tells us one thing, brothers and sisters. The power of the Lord cannot be bought. So that means that it is worth more than gold and silver. You can have all the money in the world. Right now, the richest person in the world is Elon Musk. Not even he can buy the Lord's power, right? Brothers and sisters, so that is worth more than all the riches in this world. So now let's talk. So we talked about the apostles. So the apostles had communion with God. The apostles had peace in themselves and within themselves. And they also had the Lord's favor with them wherever they went. So now we're going to examine the lame beggar, the paralytic man. What did he lack? More than what did he have? More what did he lack in this story? So first things first, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 2. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So here clearly we see that the man, where was he? He was outside. He was outside the temple. He had never stepped inside the temple. So here clearly we see that this beggar, this paralytic man, he lacked communion with God. The apostles had communion with God, but this man lacked communion with God. As we know, the lame and the blind, they were not allowed to enter the temple. They were not allowed to enter the temple to participate in what was happening there because of their condition. They were seen as impure. In those times, in that thought, they were seen as impure people, so they were not allowed to go into the temple. A lot of the Jewish thought was that, oh, that person either sinned when he was in his mom's womb, or his parents committed such a grave sin that it was transferred to him. So that is why it was seen as impure in those days. So he was not allowed to be in God's house because of his condition. Wow, so maybe he had heard of God, but he did not really understand who God was because he was never allowed to go inside the temple. So he was seen as impure. So he lacked a communion with God. He lacked a relationship with God. And the second thing that we see about this man in verses 3 through 5, it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. So this lame beggar, he had his eyes set on man. He had his eyes set on what men could give him. And he did not have his eyes set on the Lord. So he had his eyes, his faith more on what God, on what men could provide than what God could give him. So let's go quickly to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. And it says, this is what the Lord says. This is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Amen. So here we see this man, he had his eyes set on man. Perhaps that is also why he was there. Perhaps if he had asked to see the apostles or even Jesus when he was in his time, then maybe he would have been cured much before that. But his eyes were always set on what men could give him. His eyes and faith were set on man, not on the Lord. So here we see what the paralytic man, what this lame man lacked. He lacked communion. He lacked communion with God, and he lacked having his eyes put on God, his faith put on the Lord. But now, this is not the end of the story. This story has a happy ending. So now we see that the lame man lacked, but now he will gain. So he gained a few things from this story. So now we're going to see what this man gained from the two apostles. We go back to verse 6 and 8 in Acts chapter 3. And it says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet, and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God." Wow, hallelujah. So this man who had all his life, since he was a 40-year-old man, he had never walked in his whole life. And now he sees the apostles, he has an encounter with them, he has an encounter with Christ, and what happens? He starts walking. He starts not just walking, but jumping. He starts jumping. So once this man was healed, he was now able to enter God's presence. And not just only that, he started praising God. He started jumping up and down because he was grateful for this great miracle that had happened to him. And it wasn't because the apostles Peter and John had great power. No, it's because through the power of Christ that was in them that he was able to be restored. So this man was not only restored physically, but he was also restored spiritually. So this man was looking for something physical, money, but he received a physical need that was restored in him. But he also, most importantly, he was restored spiritually. So sometimes, and I see this a lot in the Hispanic community, a lot of times the Hispanic community comes to church to see what they can receive, you know, a gift basket, food, a dispensary, something to fill their physical needs. Not sometimes people come to church not for their spiritual needs, but sometimes for their physical needs. But we know that the God is good, and he fulfills both needs, right? He fulfills not just our physical needs, but he also fills our spiritual needs, which is the most important part of coming to church. Amen? So this man was restored physically, but spiritually as well. So he received a double blessing this day. So let's keep talking about this man. So verses 9 through 10. Before I go any further, so this man was restored physically and spiritually as well. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can also be like the lame man. Sometimes, maybe not physically, but spiritually. Spiritually speaking, we can sometimes find it difficult to walk in Christ, right? Sometimes on Sundays, you know, all week, we've given all our energy to work, to the family, to being out and about the city or having fun. And then on Sunday, we wake up and we feel like we got ran over by a train, right? We just can't get ourselves to walk, to get out of bed. You know, we come up with any excuse to not come to church. So spiritually speaking, we can sometimes be like this lame man, like this beggar, you know, that we find it difficult to find a good footing, a good walk in Christ. And also, I hear this also a lot from my coworkers when I invite them to church. And sometimes they laugh. They said, "Oh, no, I can't go to church. As soon as I walk in, God's going to strike me down or I'm going to start burning." You know, sometimes we see ourselves as impure or we don't see ourselves worthy of coming to church. And, you know, that is a lie from the devil. That is a lie from the enemy. No one really is worthy to come to Christ, but it is through his grace, through his mercy that we are here. Amen, brothers? So sometimes we might not have something that impairs us physically, but maybe spiritually there could be something that doesn't allow us to walk in Christ, which is what we need to be, why we need to be restored, spiritually speaking. So now let's go to verses 9 and 10, because the story doesn't end there. And this, it says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wow, God, to God be the glory. This man who for 40, 30 years had been at this gate begging was now standing, was now a testimony of Christ's power, of the name of Jesus Christ. And now this man was a testimony to all Jerusalem of that, that Jesus had power, that the name of Jesus had power, that it could restore men like this who had been beggars for all their life, and now they had been restored. So, and then in verse 16, which I will read, says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. So Peter there gives the glory to Christ. The glory wasn't for Peter or for John, who happened to be there by coincidence. No, it was through the power of Christ that this man was restored. So every time we see a great miracle like this happen, we shouldn't, you know, glorify ourselves. We shouldn't become proud. We should give all the glory to Christ, because he is the one who has the power to restore a man like this. Amen? So I'm going to be concluding now, brothers and sisters. So like I had to ask you in the morning, what do we have when we have nothing? The apostles, they didn't have anything financial. They didn't have anything physically. But what they did have was the name of Jesus. They had faith in Jesus. They had faith in the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, don't let anything financial, any economic circumstances stop you from following and trusting in Christ. Because everything in this world will one day pass away. Right, brothers, sisters? All the houses, all the cars, all the bills, they will one day pass. But you know what won't pass? God's glory, heaven, eternity. That will be forever. So the apostles knew that Christ was resurrected, and they lived every day testifying of his power. Sure, they weren't the most economically empowered people, but they had something even better, which was testifying of the power of Jesus Christ. And that is why we still talk about them to this day. Right, brothers and sisters? Because they impacted history. It is because of them that we are here today, reunited here as a church, because they spread the gospel through all the world, despite of their circumstances, despite the beatings, despite having to face false teachers, despite all the problems they had, they still testified of Christ's power. And even if, brother and sister, you might have everything material speaking, you could say, Pastor Daniel, but I have everything. I have a car. I have my house paid for. Financially speaking, I have everything. But you know what, brother? I want to tell you that you have to remember that the most important thing you possess is Christ, your faith, your salvation in eternity. That is worth more than all this world's gold and silver. Don't put your faith on what men give you, but put your faith on what God provides for you. We shouldn't put our faith in our jobs or in the companies that feed us. No, we should put our faith in God's provision. And what about the apostles? So what about them? So what happened to them after? I want everyone to follow me to Acts chapter 5, verses 32 through 35. And like I said, in Matthew, we learned that Jesus said, I will provide for you. Just like I provide for the birds, for the animals, for the flowers, for the plants, I'm going to provide for you. And now we're going to see what happened with the apostles in Acts 5, 32 through 35. And it says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious. It was Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 35. I had the wrong verse written down. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions and their own, but they had shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought their money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. Wow, how beautiful. The apostles, they were men that were obedient to the Lord, and you know, they didn't have anything. Paul and John were walking to the temple. They didn't have a penny. They didn't have anything. But now we see that they were putting, you know, everything they had at the feet of the apostles, and it wasn't for their benefit. It was for everyone's benefit, for the whole church's benefit, not just for their benefit, but also they would provide for their needs as well, right? So, brothers and sisters, where I want to go for this. So, as a church, we need to value the ministers that God puts in our lives. They give us, how many here have received healing, encouragement in Christ's name through a pastor, through a minister? I know I have. And I know many of you have as well. And maybe some of us were once like this beggar. You know, we couldn't walk. We had a physical need. And God put the correct people in our path to supply that need and to also to talk about the gospel for us to accept Christ in our lives. Amen, brothers. So in that sense, the ministers, the men of God, they are worth more than gold to us. So we must value and cherish them. Amen, brothers. We must value and cherish the work that they do. We must also, you know, support our church. You know, our church, you know, many churches are closing down because much of that financial support is not flowing anymore. So a lot of churches have to close down. I believe during COVID, a large amount of churches closed down. And that's very sad to see because that means that a lot of God's light was shut down during COVID. So we also, brothers and sisters, need to support our church, our local church, our ministries. We also need to understand the value of putting our finances at the feet of God, at the feet of the ministers. Amen, brothers. So, brothers and sisters, so we have everything in Christ. We have. Don't let the world convince you that your worth is just what you have, what you make. No, you have more than that. You have Christ. You have the word of Christ in your mouth, and that is worth more than the silver and gold in this world. Amen.